Big Smoke Music Weekly.
Hello and welcome. It's Series 3, Episode 8 of Big Smoke Music Weekly. Luke and Dave are here. We admit we have been even worse at sticking to our weekly title, but we promise to make it up to you. We've got a couple of fancy new mics and we're ready to rumble. No longer sound like we're at a festival portaloo. In this episode, what to expect? Well, we've got a ones to watch special for you with three Big Smoke in Focus interviews. One coming from Hongza, an exciting new solo artist, as well as another from Tom McConnell of Novelty Island, who deserves an Oscar for his latest video. And finally, the Brighton punk outfit Guru, fresh off the back of the release of their stomping new single. All this, plus we take a trip down to the news desk in Dave's Music News. All that before this massive new one from Eads. There it is, the first track from episode 8, season 3 of Big Smoke Music Weekly. That is Eads with Forget What You Want, which is ironic because I nearly forgot that.
You almost forgot it.
I nearly forgot. Bloody hell, what a nightmare. David, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm very well, mate. How are you?
Good, man. I'm all right. Got my peanuts, got my beer. It's all good.
Life couldn't be better, could it?
Well, yeah. Well, you did just witness me nearly choke to death on one whilst I tried to record the intro to the episode. I had to redo that. Nightmare. But yes, Dave, that track there from Eads off their Microcosmic Things EP. And it's great, man. I'm all over it. It's kind of like quite chaotic, but quite tight at the same time. Do you know what I mean?
I think that's almost quite a good way of describing a good indie track. A bit chaotic, but kind of compact, tight. Good, yeah, all good.
Quite uniforms, but a little bit edgy at the same time.
A bit of almost like Magic Gang signed to that, I think.
Yeah, definitely. Like. Well, I think the true insight that we give on this podcast was kind of defined there by when I played it to you for the first time, you went, "Gaw, this is indie."
We do pick them well.
I mean, it's almost like we're doing an indie podcast. Weird, isn't it? Weird how it works out. Very weird. But Dave, actually, I've got a bone to pick for you. A bone I've picked many a time. When I was in our nation's capital, trying to see you, did I hear from you?
I wouldn't really go far as trying to see me.
The first thing I'll ask you, did I message you saying, "Bonjour, how's it going? Here's what I'm doing today. By the way, come and meet me."
It was more originally you said, "Oh yeah, you know, I'll be in London, I could swing by." I was like, "Sounds good." Then you were in South London, as far away as possible from me, and then as far as possible north. So it's almost like you didn't want to see me, really.
Well, I did, Dave. And particularly on the way home, my train very hungover. I just thought maybe Dave's like got this telepathic skill that I don't know about, and he's trying to send me these messages via his brain, and I cannot get them.
Did you not get them?
Nah.
I'll probably get
next Wednesday and be like, "Can't make it, mugger! I can't come down."
Brainwaves, it's just, you know, they're a bit slow sometimes, it's especially
like
mine.
Every time, mate, that you see that shitty little meme that pops up, and tag your friends that you either die or win £1 million, and you have to call the friend that won't pick up, I'm always like, better tag Dave then. You are the one.
Oh, no, my favourite one is like the stupid ones when they go, "Tag the second app person, and would you punch them for £10 million? It's like, if any single person comes up, I would punch them for £10 million. Yeah. It could be my nan. It's all, like, sorry, nan.
It's like, would you break your mate's arm for £1 million? Well, probably, yeah.
Like, I'd chuck him a fiver for the taxi to the hospital. And then, I'll be off.
I was going to be a bit more democratic about it. I thought if we're going to get £500,000 each, yeah, break my arm. Not, here's a bloody Uber.
That's where we differ, my friend. That's where we differ.
Literally, mate. But, mate, it's good to be back. I'm excited for this episode. We've got three interviews coming up with some proper good bands, to be fair.
Jam-packed?
Jam-packed, baby. What was that?
That's a fly.
Sorry. Oh God!
It's the fly season, and I've taken some very strong drugs, so I'm seeing some things around me now. So if I just,
I thought that was our ones to watch episode celebration. It was just a very weird little jerk reaction. Very weird. But yeah, Dave. One last thing before we actually play another song. I know this pandemic's been obviously horrendous, but it's the only time in my life I felt loaded. Like, it's taken a global pandemic for me to sort my finances out.
Yep. Amen.
Actually, saying that, I mean, I'm complaining about not seeing you, but you're the reason I'm skinny.
No, I think it's a combined effort between the two of us.
Mate, you're the devil on my shoulder. It is not good.
I felt the same. It's that feeling when you look at the bank at the end of the month and you're like, oh, that's what it feels like to save money.
All right, Dave, I reckon it's time to hear from a former Big Smoke In Focus artist. Fuzzy Sun just released a brilliant, brilliant little EP, Stories Retold. Big fan of the band, but yeah, I think you'd be interested by this one. This is Come Take a Bite.
Sky prepared.
About that one at the moment, that is Come Take a Bite, the acoustic version off of Fuzzy Sun's new EP, Stories Retold. Dave.
It's great, isn't it? I love a bit of that. I think some of the best things to come out of lockdown is bands sort of doing different things with their tracks and just trying stuff completely different. And I mean, a lot of it is acoustic because, you know, it's what they're limited to, but a lot of it's really good. Like that is really good.
Yeah, definitely. That's what they, when they sent it out to people, they were like, yo, here's our new EP. They said that it was kind of like born out of lockdown, because it has been a big time of reflection for a lot of people, isn't it?
Yeah.
So they've come up with this, yeah, 7 tracks in all. And it's quite interesting because like they did have quite a distinct sound, didn't they? But I think this is them kind of being like, now that's not the only string to our bow.
We can do other things. Yeah, exactly.
Definitely, man. It's great. I think the first time, because to be fair, Come Take a Bite is probably one of their slower tracks anyway, but I think that just builds and builds and builds even better. Yeah. So good, man. All about it. So yes, I think we should take a trip down to the news desk.
Dave's Music News.
Okay, Dave, what have you got for us today?
Right, so it's been a while, hasn't it, actually?
It's been a while.
There's been not much news going on recently, is there?
That news desk obviously covered in dust, mate. What's going on?
I thought I'd start off with a couple of serious, not serious things, but actual music-related things.
Serious? Let's bring the tone down.
Last week, the Mercury Prize 2020 shortlist was released. A couple ones to shout out. Sports Team. Deep Down Happy is being nominated, so I'm well happy for that.
Yeah.
One of our previous interviewees from Neighborhood Festival, Porridge Radio, also on there, which is a good album.
Yep.
Apart from that, not much indie on there for, you know, what we consider. A lot of pop-y things.
Hit me with it. Is Jessie Ware on there?
No, so we've got Dua Lipa, Charlie XCX, Stormzy, Kano, a couple of things. I mean, Georgia, Seeking Thrills is a great album. I love that album.
But yeah.
My pick from the only ones is Michael Kiwanuka.
Oh, that's a great album.
That is a great album. So that's my pick.
So what next?
So
what's next on the agenda?
I was just going to say, winner's announced September 10th, but it's one of those things where they're unsure whether there's going to be a crowd, you know, in attendance.
Oh, there won't be.
Interesting to see.
Maybe not. I do hope Sports Team win, though, man. What an album, by the way.
I don't think they will. I think they're too much of an underdog still. I think.
But they challenged Gaga, didn't they, for their number one spot?
Almost. Oh, I was so gutted by that. I get charts sent to my work.
Oh, cool.
And I was checking it, and they were so close. Like, they were a few hundred copies out.
Oh, that's so annoying, isn't it?
Yeah,
imagine if they'd have beaten Gaga.
Number one album.
Incredible.
And then the story we've been waiting for, one that I think you'll love, because...
Shall I put my drink down for this? Because I was about to have a sip.
You have an Australian mum has been given the worst breakup ever. So she has been slammed with Chewbacca noise phone calls after a vengeful ex-boyfriend posted her phone number around the neighbourhood and put a competition on it to say whoever could do the best Chewbacca noise over the phone to win 100 Australian dollars.
So people have just been calling up.
So for the last 2 weeks, she's been back-to-back phone calls with just people doing a Chewbacca impersonation
that
down the phone.
Is never mind breakup stories are usually terrible, but that guy deserves an award for creativity.
It is very original.
It's a shame I'm not down there, because we all know I'd be scooping up 100 Australian dollars.
I was going to say, you'd be all over that, mate.
I will say, you want me to do it?
I don't think I said that.
Yeah, hold on.
I'm going to check there's no peanuts stuck in my throat still. It's incredible. What's that, Chewie?
But yeah, she said, this has got to be the most childish breakup I've ever had. All he had to do was say, I don't love you anymore and move on.
But I think that's the best breakup ever. What a guy. Right, I think that's what we have time for. On
Dave's Music News.
Gosh, just another simply superb edition of Dave's Music News there. All right, well, how about our first one of these?
Big Smoke.
In focus.
As we all know, this year has been one of those years where all of our plans have been cancelled, dreams and hopes have been dashed, hopes of our summer of Euros, the Olympics, Glasgow hitting 50 years of age, and many a night in a pub garden. But the lead singer of Novelty Island, Tom McConnell, has come up with a great idea and thought, what better way to get over missing the pub than, well, to write about missing the pub? We can welcome him now to episode 8. We've got to start, obviously, with the new single. And what a genius idea. Tell us about it. Was it just born out of missing pubs?
Yeah. we just thought it would be... We did make it in the middle of lockdown, and we were sort of weirdly hoping that the pubs didn't get reopened before it came out, which was very weird. We were like, oh, it'd be even better if they weren't open. But yeah, basically did it in the middle of lockdown, thinking we need to write a pub if we can't go to any.
There you go. That is the dream. I know me and Dave probably miss pubs anyway, but
it's a lot of people's bottled up feelings for a long time. Yeah. All come out in it.
So yeah, obviously the Desperately Strange is the track, came out July 24th. How's the reaction been to it so far? A lot of people kind of connected to it, because as we say, we've all missed the pub, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, we were hoping they would because of that basically, but it seems to have gone down really well, especially the video, because it's a bit of a nuts video.
I've got to say, that's probably my favourite video of all time now, I think.
Yeah. Nice one, thank you.
Yeah. When we were putting stuff earlier today, Tom, I was like, oh, by the way, because Dave was like, oh, I like the track. I was like, you wait till you've seen the video, Sunshine. It's incredible. Yeah. So did you spend time just right, what are my favourite TV pubs?
Basically, I made a huge list of any I could think of, and I don't think there's any I've really missed off, bar... Someone said that we should have put in, there's a pub that Alan Partridge goes to in the hotel.
Yeah.
I was the only one, I think I've missed it, but it's not really a proper famous pub, so I'm not too worried about that. But yeah, tried to list any famous pub scene I could think of. Really.
Exactly. By the sounds of it, mate, that, the length of your list, it could have ended up being like a 9-minute track.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know, what was the one you most want to go to, do you reckon?
Oh, going to Moe's as a human being.
That's like I say, that's probably mine. So. Yeah. It's either that or getting punched by Phil Mitchell. It's debatable.
That maybe be the highlight for me, actually.
I mean, that was my favourite part of the video. You looking properly angry at Phil Mitchell in the Vic. That was that drunk, angry stage.
Yeah, no strangers just going and started him. So I just thought...
Yeah, it's good times, mate. So, so this is part of this Suddenly On Sea EP, right? That's coming out next month.
Yes.
So what can you tell us about that? Because when I heard the track Desperately Strange first time, I heard quite a bit of blur in there. Is that sort of a sound that echoes throughout the whole thing?
Yeah, I mean, Damon, early Blur is one of my, all of Blur, actually, is one of my favourite bands and stuff. So it's all sort of Blur, Beach Boys, Paul McCartney sort of influenced. And it's the whole EP is supposed to be like the summer holiday that no one can have this year. So that was the pub visit that no one can have this year. The tracks we've already put out, Jaunty View, the first one, was like the hotel you'd go to on the holiday. Francesca Relax was sort of an old 30s hit that reimagined. Imagine you could go to the ballroom and have a dance on your like seaside, old-fashioned holiday. So all the rest of the tracks are all sort of linked to that. Suddenly On Sea is the town, the fictional town where all this is set. Awesome. So yeah, all sort of links together and is all yearning for the summer that we could have been having right now.
There you go. We've spoken to a couple of bands over this period. Like we've well, we keep saying we're meant to be a weekly podcast. It's maybe what? How many? What, once a month, Dave, at best.
Yeah, it's getting less and less now.
We've somehow become lazier when we don't have to travel to a studio. But some bands have been like, "Oh, it's been a bit shit for us. We haven't been able to get up for writing or anything." But sounds like you've kind of grabbed it by the horns in a way and taken it the best of a situation.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I sort of. In terms of making music, it hasn't really changed for me that much because I always sort of did a lot at home. So I've tried to just think of it like, well, there's loads of free time here to use. I understand that not everyone feels like that way about it, and sometimes I don't as well. But I mean, it just sort of, I might as well utilize this time to make some music. Yeah, and because I know I can do it at home, and I like doing little homemade videos and all the art sort of homemade, and it has that aesthetic. It's not like the art has to suffer too much because of this.
Yeah, that's
so if
great,
it
man.
Have to, it might as well not, you know what I mean?
Definitely. And you've got a couple of dates coming up, right? Still in the diary? What's the track?
They've been postponed now till May. They've had about 5 different dates, this one EP launch.
Really, I mean, yeah.
It's already out.
This is going to be like the longest EP campaign known to man.
I was saying yesterday, like, we'll eventually do these gigs when we're like 70. Just saying, thanks for buying the EP 55 years ago.
You will be that old man in a pub.
Yeah, exactly.
We're gonna have the best retirement our age group, aren't we? Because all these things are gonna be saved after we're about 70.
Yeah, so. I'm gonna be off so my nut EP when I'm 75.
But yeah, so they're supposed to be in next May now, I think. But one at the Social, and one in Liverpool as well.
Awesome, mate. Well, we look forward to that. And as we said, Suddenly on Sea comes out August 21st. And we ask everyone, Tom, that comes on to introduce the track. We're going to give Desperately Strange a spin. So do you want to give it a fantabulous intro?
So this is the greatest pub crawl you will ever go on. The Desperately Strange by Novelty Island. And thank you for having me.
Big Smoke Music Weekly.
Over cloudbursts I saw you. Pleasure waits at the pier. Smell the beer, helter skelter over here. With some sugar and the birds and the cheer. Woozy heads like a dodgem. Seagulls chat on the wall. Bowling ball, stripey gent, he's 10 foot tall. Wooden leg, wins it all, what a day. And the rollers, the coasters, the waltz round a lifetime. Belonging a different age. Swinging collectively, spinning obsessively, down at the desperately strange.
There it is, potentially my favourite song of lockdown. That is Novelty Island and The Desperately Strange, which came out July 24th. And the band's EP coming out August 21st, Suddenly on Sea is the name of that's their EP. Dave, I think you liked that song when I sent it to you, and then you saw the video and you loved that song.
I loved it, yeah. It's just so fun, isn't it? It's that perfect bit of escapism that you want during these times. So.
Yeah, exactly. And also, and I'll say this in a very positive way, Tom is exactly how I expected him to be.
Yeah, like, exactly. He was, actually, yeah.
And I love people that are like that. I hate when you like, oh, he's going to be like this. Not that I like to judge people before I meet them, but, you know, and then I was like, bang on.
It does seem like a person I just like to go to the pub with. So
exactly, Tom O'Connell, you're exactly what I wanted from Tom O'Connell. It was so good, man. But I love that you were saying that everyone is just kind of loved it because of that as well.
Yeah, man.
I don't want to write an ode to the British pub, but it is actually proper important, isn't it?
The pub. I've realised that it's a good. It's just such a good set. It's almost like a centre where people swear meet, aren't you?
Oh man, yeah.
It could be, you could just say basically Britain revolves around the pubs since, you know, since we've gone, we've had to just sort of actually, would be right, a lot more technological and do all these things, but now just go with the old fashioned pub.
Go down the pub. It's like, mate, I'm pretty sure my boss wonders what the hell I'm doing. I'm like, oh, sorry, boss, I've been daydreaming about being back in Ireland in the pub again. But yeah, I quite like he was saying, because I definitely heard, like, it is a bit of, hate the term, but Brit poppy, bit of Blur in there.
I'm quite happy he said that he's a bit of a McCartney, because I could say that's plucked straight out of Sgt. Pepper's. That's sort of like psychedelica. I think it's brilliant.
Yeah, it's like a little snapshot of life in a song.
Yeah, exactly.
So good, man.
Just a bit silly, but fun as well. So
exactly. All right then. Well, from one Big Smoke In Focus artist to another, this is part of our Episode 8 Series 3 Ones to Watch special. We're going to be hearing now from Hongza.
Big Smoke
In Focus.
This is a new project from Sam Hong, the lead singer formerly of Lo-Fi Outfit, Days. And we'll be talking to him about his emotional debut, Gone. Sam, thanks for joining. Just want to start off, because obviously I met you through, well, I think I bumped into a gig in London, and then I knew it was being with Days. So just tell us about the end of Days. Did that kind of just feel like it came to a natural end?
Yeah, so we all kind of started the band super early when we were 17, and when we finished, we were like 21. And I feel like people, like, you change so much from that 18 to 21 gap, and our music taste changed so much. So everyone kind of wanted to go in their own sort of lane. So Tina wanted to go down a little bit of more punk route. Me and Luca, guitarist, wanted to go more indie. Ollie wanted to do more electronic dance stuff. We kind of came to a conclusion that it was the right time for us to finish. We played a gig at the Finsbury, which was awesome. Like, had mosh pits. Everyone came out. Like, people couldn't even get in the room, which was crazy. Amazing. And that's that thing. It's so weird because, like, when you're banned, everyone on social media kind of just, like, is a little bit like, oh, yeah, you know, they're doing the thing. But once you announce that you break up, it's like, everyone's like,
don't go.
No, what's going on? Yeah. Why are you going? And it's like, oh, so now all the lights are coming in. Why did
it's always, you don't know what you got till it's gone, isn't it?
Yeah, that's so true. That's something I've never really thought about that before. Do you know what that was like? It was like, do you remember the band Tribes? It's like they put up tickets for
reform,
and they were sold out within honestly, 10 seconds. Ridiculous. You've got a Days tattoo, right?
Yeah, man, I've got one on my chest, but I can show it to you guys actually. Wait.
Oh, go on.
Well, right here.
Mate. Oh, that's cool, man.
Yeah, that's a good one.
The gravestone. I feel sorry for our listeners. Don't get the pleasure of a striptease.
We should get a screenshot and put it on Instagram.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. that'll get your likes up, Sam. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, man.
So, yeah, mate, I was going to say as well, because I was, when, like, believe it or not, we do a bit of research for this, Sam. But I was looking at it and I read a couple of little things about the new single that you've released as a solo artist, Gone. And it kind of made me laugh, because a couple of places were calling you a newcomer. And I'm like, but he's not. So is it weird? Have you felt like a newcomer because you're doing it off as a solo artist?
Yeah, I think so, man. I feel like also because, like, I've come off when I was in Days, it was always like writing together collectively and kind of spreading the workload and pleasing four parties at the same time. But now it's like doing it on my own, and it's kind of like my direction and what I sort of want to do, even though I still write with other people, I still write with my band sometimes. But I do feel like a little bit of a newcomer, because it's like it's a fresh start in a sense, even though I've done it before. Yeah, man, I think I do feel like a newcomer, in all honesty.
Nice, man. I like that. And tell us about the style as well, because, mate, honestly, I love the track God. It's such a great tune.
Oh, thank you, man.
But it's one of those tunes that I can imagine, like, getting really deep here. When you're feeling a bit pissed and you come home for a night out, just put it on really loud. It's one of those tracks, man.
I really like it.
So tell us the story about, because it's kind of a bit of a breakup song, right?
Yeah, so basically, it's a long story-ish, but me and my girlfriend at the time split up around like Christmas time. And two years in a row, I've had two girlfriends break up with me, so I hated fucking Christmas.
Both at Christmas?
So much at one point. Yeah, both at Christmas, yeah.
Oh, so, mate, I hope you kept your receipts for the presents.
Yeah, I wish I did, to be honest.
Exactly, neither.
Mate, honestly, man. But yeah, I wrote it a couple of days after, because I did something stupid and like it ruined kind of my perception of me in her mind. Right. So it was kind of just like a breakup song, just expressing like the sorrow that I felt for doing it, and because I was so hurt at the time, and I feel like I was blinded by the hurt, and I did something to hurt her. If that makes sense. So it was more like a sorry song and I hate myself in a way.
Breakups aren't the easiest thing to
as is. That sounds.
Yeah.
And yeah, I feel like I wrote it in like, a day. And then the next single that I'm putting out was the song that I wrote the day after. So the next tune's going to be a succession.
Okay, cool. So do you reckon that'll be like a theme with Hongza that will kind of, you'll have a bit of a narrative through these songs? Can you hear me, Sam?
Sorry, man. My internet is fucking shit.
Don't worry, man. I just said, it's quite interesting. You said with the follow-up single, it'll kind of be the day after. So will there be a bit of a narrative going through these tracks that you'll release?
Yeah. Well, we're just kind of... I think this is kind of... We're still trying to piece it together, how to do it, like, visually and how to connect the dots. But... in terms of like telling a story of it with like press and how I'll be telling it on socials, still we're going to piece it together and tell a story of what those two days felt like for me visually. Yeah. I guess.
Sure, man. That's good. It's quite refreshing to hear someone say that they're being so open and like you recognize you made mistakes and then you're making tunes out of it. It's quite an interesting thing to hear, I think.
Yeah.
Definitely, man. I've got to ask
I was going to say, what's the difference? Do you feel a real difference when releasing something as a solo and as a band? Do you feel like when you release something as a band, you can almost deflect things more, but when it's just solo, it's more on you? Like, what's your thoughts?
Yeah. Well, definitely, like, in terms of, like, visually and musically and what your social media looks like, as a band, it's always... kind of, there's like pros and cons with like releasing a band, because you've got four people to bounce off with, but at the same time, if those four people don't have the same vision as you, it makes it quite difficult. Do you know what I mean? So releasing by myself, it's like I see this, I can tell, I'll tell my like bandmates or like my manager or whatever about it, and they'll give me ideas to build upon that image, instead of maybe if it was a band, then I'll be like, oh, this is cool. But if they don't like it, if two people don't like it, I've got to be like, oh, all right, fine. Well, we've got to go compromise with someone else's idea.
Yeah.
It's more about compromising with a band. So, and I feel like I'm quite uptight with like my creativity at the same time. So yeah, releasing solo, like as a solo artist, is fucking awesome, man.
That freedom, maybe more.
definitely that freedom, man.
Nice. You're currently in what, like the musical equivalent of skinny dipping?
Yeah, pretty much, man.
there you go, mate. And I've got, how many times have you dyed your hair in lockdown? Is that a bit of green tint at the moment,
mate? It's got a bit of green tint at the moment. I think do you know what, mate, I like the what I like about dyeing my hair is like I go through like personality changes and like I'm a new person every time. Might be green today and like a plant. Tomorrow might be red and a rose or whatever, man. Like, yeah.
Just looking
I love doing it, man. It's shit though, because like my fingers turn like all green and stuff, but it's all part of it.
There you go. Bro.
All part of fun.
Yeah, not just a hair dye, a full body dye.
So I love it. I've never heard anyone say they're so visual with their hair colours. Like you're, if it's red, you're a tomato. I love that. Like, so visual.
Exactly, mate. But yeah, anyway, Sam, thanks for joining us. I hope the next time I see you, your hair and your skin is turquoise. Yeah, we're going to give the track a spin now. If you want to give it a little introduction, mate, we're going to give Gone a spin.
Awesome. Cool. Well, my name's Hongza. This is my debut single, Gone. And you're listening to it on Big Smoke.
Big Smoke Music Weekly.
Okay, there you have it. That is Hongza, our second of three artists on this Big Smoke In Focus Ones to Watch special. Yeah, Dave, great chat there, I thought, with Sam, obviously known now as Hongza. Quite interesting, just, I think, to start, how different the sound is from Dave's, his first outfit.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it kind of comes across what he said during, is that how Dave's came to an end is quite natural because they all just wanted to go there and do their own individual things. And I mean, there's nothing wrong with that, you know, they're all artists, aren't they? So, but you can kind of hear that in the song. It's quite a sea change from what we used to know with him at Days. So
Exactly, man. And I think he's like such a mature young guy as well, and I think that comes through in the music. But it's so well, we always say this, so well layered, I think, in that track. And those, he's talking about, like, to have the balls to admit you've done wrong and screwed up in a breakup.
Yeah,
and then I think it's just like the guitars, that echoey feel is almost like a searching, isn't it? He's trying to kind of post breakup, you know, it's always a bit like, what the Jeff is going on? So, and it kind of comes
almost like a bit of emptiness as well, like in it.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
That comes with a breakup, you know, your face sometimes feels a bit empty, don't you? So,
exactly. So, now I think, Dave, next time it happens to me, I won't be listening to Adele, I'll put on a bit of Hongza.
God.
Ben and Jerry's in a hotel.
You got to say, like, I think it's good for him. Like, it's where being in a band and then going in to do your solo has done him a lot of good, because he's come out a lot more confident and a lot more polished as an artist. Now he's going doing a solo thing because he's had that bit of exposure as a in a band.
Well, so. I think also being solo, it's your own experience of life that you put into it, and it's more your identity, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm really, really pleased for him, and it's sounding great. So I can't wait for the second.
Yeah, I'm looking. Yeah, exactly. I'm looking for seeing what he's got next lined up. So
exactly, man. Exactly. Now, Dave, little switch in conversation, mate. Tonight, don't know if you saw. Oh no, sorry, last night. Frank Turner, who's been doing a lot. He did a lot for fundraising for independent venues throughout lockdown, and he last night played a gig at the Clapham Grand in Clapham Town. And the government asked him to get out of town. It's in Clapham, the Clapham Grand.
It's
quite grand, actually. It's quite a big place, yeah. Basically, they asked him to put this gig on. I love the thought of Boris being like, "Oh, Frank, do you mind popping down?" And but they tried out.
I'll be honest with you. I never thought I'd see Frank Turner and Boris Johnson sort of get along on the same page or something.
Can you imagine Boris just sat there like, "Shit, me, we haven't had a gig in a while. Better call my pal Frank up." Do you know what I mean? It's weird.
Who do you reckon Boris Johnson's favourite artist is?
Oh, he's got Eagles written all over him, isn't he?
Eagles. Pompous, overblown, like, rock.
I bet he's like, "But when I'm feeling a little bit fruity, Spice Girls, your gals.
Put a bit of Journey on. Don't stop believing."
Oh yeah, he's straight on Spotify for the cheesy sing-alongs, isn't he?
Loves a bit of yacht rock.
Or like, you know those compilations you used to get? Dad's Barbecue Rock.
REO Speedwagon.
Exactly, man. I feel like we've nailed it. Anyway, the serious chat I'm trying to have, Dave. Basically, Frank put this, my good pal Frank, put this gig on to try and trial a socially distanced gig. And essentially, Clapham Grand came back and went, "Absolutely not. We're making no money."
Yeah. I mean, they run on like a capacity for a reason, aren't they?
Exactly.
So if you then go, "You can have 25% capacity," I was like, "What? No, that doesn't work." But
so I just had a horrifying thought. If they do reduce it, does that mean pints will now be about 20 quid instead of...
Yeah, exactly, yeah. They will be.
Fucking hell.
They were expensive enough already. But
exactly, but you mean, then you'll end up pricing fans out of gigs as well.
Yeah, ticket prices will go up, beer will be expensive. It's just... And I mean, the fault of it, I don't think it's going to be that good of an experience anymore. Like we said before, when, you know, you're in there and it's a bit empty, maybe like a support act, you go to some gigs, you know, the empty gig, it's a weird, you sort of feel a bit odd, but when it's like a packed gig, that's how you want it, because you kind of get lost in the crowd. So
yeah, it's because there's less space, people can weirdly feel more expressive.
Yeah, exactly.
In a way, which is a completely backwards thought, but that is how it is at a gig. But yeah, also, Dave, the other exciting news, check out these bad boys, New Edition.
Just when I thought you can get more hipster, mate.
I thought I looked like a shit Harry Potter, actually.
It's good. This is good for a podcast as well, because no one knows what we're talking about.
I know, yeah. Just put on my new frames. I should probably clear that up. And
They are very Harry Potter-esque, actually.
I know, mate. But, mate.
I'll give you the scar on your forehead soon, don't worry.
Oh, cheers, mate. What, is this to win £1 million, is it? That you won't get? You'll give me an Uber to get stitched up?
Did you give your mate a lightning scar for £10 million? Yes.
Already done it, mate. Did it for a tenner. But yeah, mate, I was trying to try them on with a bloody mask on my face. You can't see what you're looking like.
And have you seen the biggest issue of masks recently is people's glasses fogging up? That's what a lot of people said is a big issue.
Yeah, I had that on the train. It's a joke. I'm trying to find a seat and all I can see is clouds.
Yeah, it's good, man.
Is it good? Not really. But there you go. Right then, I feel like we should have our final Big Smoke in Focus chat of the episode.
Big Smoke.
In focus.
Yes, last year we were blown away by the emergence of Brighton punk outfit Guru. With their ballsy riffs and what seems like an unrelenting need to push their instruments to the limit, they became our go-to energy kick for the winter months. But as we all know, 2020 has been a complete shitter, and it's definitely the year that no one asked for. We're going to catch up with them now and find out why their new single Roses is the antidote to the weirdest summer yet. Tommy, thanks ever so much for joining us, mate. And yeah, I guess let's get straight into it. New single, Roses. When I heard it, as soon as I heard it, I was like, these boys, Guru. It seems like all of your tracks have a proper, like, us versus them feel to it.
Yeah, no, I'd say that's definitely true.
So yeah. Tell us a bit about Roses then. Why the title Roses, and what was kind of the trigger into writing that?
It was just, I don't know really, to be honest, mate. I haven't got a good answer for this one. Like, a lot of the times when I write lyrics, it comes and it makes sense at the time, and sometimes I go back to it and I genuinely have no idea what I was going on about. And then I have to kind of turn it into something kind of intelligible and cohesive for the press pack.
Perfect, mate. That's perfect. I quite like to hear that, man, because a lot of the time I speak to people and they're like, oh yeah, it's like from months of thinking and bloody blah, but it sounds like you kind of feel whatever sounds and feels good, you'll go with it.
Yeah, man. Like, I find that just some phrasing, some words, some rhymes just work, and some don't. And sometimes the ones that work don't make any sense, but I'd much rather use the ones that don't make sense that sound good than pretend to be and know like the voice of my generation, you know what I mean? I'm not Joni Mitchell.
Fair enough, man. And you, all you boys from Brighton, did you meet kind of growing up together, and that's how the band came about?
So me and Kieran, who's on guitar, we're from a little town called Maidstone in Kent. I'd never go there if you have the chance.
I think I've driven through, mate. I didn't stop. So I've inadvertently taken your advice on board.
I hear that a lot about Maidstone. I think I saw that on the M20 once. Yeah,
yeah, so, that was it.
yeah, Ferg's from, he's basically from near Horsham, from a small village.
Yeah.
And Todd is from Glasgow, I think. Yeah, so we're all from all over the shop, but we met in Brighton. Yeah.
Sweet. And how did the band all come together then? Did you just kind of meet through a general love of music, and that was that?
Me and Kieran were both trying to start our own band. And we were like in competition with each other.
Kieran's a guitarist, right, with you guys?
Yeah. So like every time we'd meet people at parties or something, me and Kieran would be like fighting each other to try and recruit them to our own band. And then eventually after a few months, we were like, should we team up?
And makes sense. Save some energy, boys.
I think, you know, back then we were both pretty juvenile, you know what I mean? He was like, oh man, I just love Black Sabbath. And I was like, yeah, man, but the Libertines are way better.
Yes, so the Libertines. I'll back you on that one all the way, mate.
That's the thing. There was like such a gap between like, what we wanted to do. So it didn't really make much sense that we did get together, but we did. And then we found Ferg was just there every gig ever. I went to a gig, I'd go to a gig like, I don't know, once or twice a week. But every time I'd go to a gig, he'd be there.
There you go.
It was impressive, man. Like, in that first year, I don't think I ever went to a gig and he wasn't already at the front.
Is that where you got to the point where you start thinking, Ferg, where's the tracker in my clothes, mate? What's going on? Stop following me.
So Kieran said to Ferg, he was like, oh, Ferg, do you know any guitarists or bassists, should I say? And then Ferg was like, oh, yeah, okay, I'll have a think around for some bassists. And and then he was walking past the second-hand store called Ziggy's, right? Which was insane. The guy that owned it was just insane. Like, he'd sell Burberry jumpers for a fiver.
What?
Like, I just don't think, I don't think he knew what he had. He went bust.
Yeah, I was going to say, surely he went bust.
but then he had like a guitar case that just had Oasis spray painted on it. And he was trying to sell it to me for £200, telling me it was like actually Noel Gallagher. I was just like, you're whack, mate. Just give me this Burberry jumper.
That would be me done.
But Ferg walked past that place one day and there was a bass in the window and he just bought it, taught himself. See, the thing about Ferg is he's a musical prodigy.
There you go. Everyone needs a Ferg in a band.
He's the musician, like 100%. He understands it. And he just learned bass. And then he was like, look, I've got a bass. And he joined. And the drama story is a bit longer because we're now on our third. But
boom, so. There you go. Sweet, man. Well, I've got to tell you as well, because I work, my day job's working at TalkSport Radio, and I've got to text all these ex-footballers. And I guess my Ferg is Stuart Pearce. I always bump into him at gigs, but I have to talk to him to book him for shows and stuff. And he texted me randomly. We'd both been at Fontaine's DC, saw him at Kentish Town Forum. And he texted me and he was like, I think it was the following week. I was like, oh, I hope you enjoyed the gig. He was like, yeah. He's like, what other band you listen to at the moment? And at the time, I couldn't stop listening to your boy's tune, Don't Talk. I was like, oh, check out Guru. I think you'll like him. And he texts back. He's like, God, bit of a stomper, that one. So you've got a fan in Stuart Pearce, man.
Stuart Pearce. That's hilarious, mate.
There you go. So I'm doing your PR work for you. So, you know,
just thanks, man.
Being a fan from a distance. But yeah. And then, mate, just one final one to end. Well, as I said, massive fan of Don't Talk. And then you've toured with like Slaves and Heavy Lungs. Me and Dave, who I do the pod with, we actually came across you because you were touring with Heavy Lungs. Who do you think is like the maddest band you've toured with? Because I know Danny Delco is pretty nuts. He's been on the show with us before.
The maddest band or the maddest person?
Maddest band or person, up to you.
I'm gonna have to go with Joe from Lady Bird. He's a good friend of mine, man. But I've never ever met anyone with as much energy as Joe.
Amazing.
He's like a Rottweiler.
There you go.
Like, never let him off the lead, man. he's amazing. He's honestly one of the best people I've ever met. But he is just a pool of energy.
Really? Just one of those people where you think, where do you get it from, man? What is going on?
Honestly, man, like, no exaggeration. You can look down at your phone and look back up and he's, like, gone from sitting on his drum seat to, like, standing on it. And I'm just like, how have you done that in such a short amount of time? And, like, done it successfully as well, you know, in the middle of a show.
There you go. So if he was a dog, he'd be a Springer Spaniel type.
Definitely.
Nice, pretty good analogy. Well, mate, thanks ever so much for joining me. As I said, short and sweet. But if you want to give us an introduction into Roses, that'd be great. And we'll give it a spin.
All right, guys, welcome to Big Smoke Music Weekly. And this is your track of the week, decided by Tom from Guru, Roses.
Big Smoke Music Weekly.
Waiting at the station for me. I said, now, please.
There it is. That is Guru with Roses, their latest tune, and our third and final artist on our Big Smoke In Focus special, our Ones to Watch episode. Dave, how about that ruddy little number?
Course, one to dust off the old cobwebs, isn't it?
Oh, put some hairs on your chest for that little number.
I'll be there. Put it in your pub and smoke it.
I'm trying to think of another one, but I can't. I actually can't think of another one, but there you go.
Yeah, it's big. Big track. I mean, it's that massive, but it's kind of like full throttle. That's what I was going to say. Exactly. All full throttle kind of punk. But like, it's interesting, you know, we talked about them where we first got exposure for them was on tour with Heavy Lungs. Mm. I can hear a lot of Heavy Lungs in them as well. I don't know if that's maybe a little bit of influence, like the vocals and guitar breakdowns in it are very similar. So I love it. It's a big track.
But you can just tell that they are bands that are just so geared up and just ready to make the most of being a band, if that makes sense. Because we always talk about some artists, and like obviously a good example would be Hongzo, who makes the most and really takes on that chilled atmospheric sound. But a lot of artists, you do think, come on man, like what is going on? But these boys really do just go for it, don't they?
I think they're channeling like what I'd be like in a band.
Yeah, exactly. You're like, how loud does this go? Can it go louder?
Oh, I just want to like let it all out, and then that's it. Have a laugh in it as well. So.
Rock out your cock out, Dave, innit? Yeah, exactly. But that track Roses came out July 22nd on Permanent Creeps Record, which is probably a label we'd sign to be honest. But mate, honestly, end of last year, their tune Don't Talk was like my proper. Because always, you know, it's like winter. It's a bit like just never gets anything brighter than the darkest shade of grey. And you're like, Jesus Christ! And you need a tune to like
pick me up, every
lift
now
you
again.
Out of the glum. That was the one for me, man. I absolutely loved it. But yeah, man, I'm absolutely huge. But yeah, that is pretty much all we have time for on this episode. Dave, it's been a ruddy pleasure to hear you through a microphone rather than a tinny laptop.
I miss you, and I will see you this weekend.
Yes, boom, lock it in, sons. Thanks for tuning in, guys. We will be back quicker this time. I do actually promise that because it's been a long old time. But we're going to leave you on this little bangaranga. This is Go Express and Beat My Friend.